The Fan on Demand. Go to fan590.com and sign up to automatically receive the latest reports, features, and Fan 590 show highlights. The best way to get the Blue Jay story is to travel to spring training. At least that's what Jeff Blair told us. Live from warm, sunny, beautiful Dunedin, Florida, this is the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet Radio. The Fan 590.
You see, I have this immense feeling of guilt every time I come on the air from here, or even when I call home, because inevitably the first question is about the weather. And it pains me greatly, having seen the weather forecast in Toronto today, to tell you that when the Blue Jays and Philadelphia Phillies play this afternoon at Florida Auto Exchange Stadium, which is where we are broadcasting from all week, the temperature will be 29 degrees Celsius, 84 degrees Fahrenheit. A mild breeze. Lots of sunshine. Anybody coming out to this game today? This is baking weather. This is going to be one of those games where I would guess about the third inning you'll see all the older people moving from the bottom seats up to the top trying to find shelter because it is baking weather. Welcome to the Jeff Blair Show. As I said, we are from Florida Auto Exchange Stadium. The Jays and Phillies will play today. Let me give you, before we get to Nick Kiprios, and before I find out why the NHL once again is turtled when it comes to disciplining players, before I get to that, let me tell you a little bit about what we're going to do today. We're going to have Alex Anthopoulos on with us for an hour from 10 to 11. Get your email questions in now. That is Jeff Blair at fan590.com. We will ask Alex. You've already got a fair number of questions. We'll try to get through them. Not surprisingly, a lot of the questions you guys have sent in are questions I would have asked as well. I mean, fans want to know, I think, the basics about the team at this point in spring training. We are getting very close to the end of spring training, so Alex Anthopoulos will be here. We also have this amazing sort of wireless technology. We got more stuff hanging out of the window of the Jerry Howarth broadcast booth here. I feel like I'm in a spaceship. I got some big round black thing here that's really shiny and it's like sticking out, and we've got something else that looks like a weather vane. So anyhow, we got a wireless mic. We're going to try to get some of the Jays around the batting cage during batting practice. Probably get Aaron Hill. Trying to get manager John Farrell. That may or may not happen today. But Rajai Davis and a couple other Blue Jays. So we'll have you covered going into the Blue Jays game today against the Philadelphia Phillies. But before we get to that, we're going to deal with Matt Cook. Now, and here's where I stand on the Matt Cook issue. Essentially what we're looking at the end of the day is a 14-17 game suspension for this clown. And I have no idea why the NHL just didn't toss a book at the guy and keep him out for the duration of the playoffs. To me, it's pointless trying to put any sort of arbitrary, number of games in this. They just throw him out for the rest of the year. And please spare me this, poor Matt Cook. It's going to cost him $200,000. I'll tell you what, if Matt Cook loses $200,000 out of this deal, I'll give him the name of a good accountant that'll see that he gets about 90% of that back, all right? So when you make $2 million a year, you got ways of making sure that you can recover from a $200,000 hit. So, Matt Cook ain't going to be starving is what I'm telling you. Nick Kiprios of Rogers Sportsnet joins us. Nick, thanks for joining us this morning.
Hey, are you really in Florida?
I'm in Florida. Don't change the subject here. I'm kind of pissed about this. Don't change the subject.
I hope it's not one
of those.
Yes,
I'm in Florida.
I hope it's not one of those Gorge Stelic fake pool parties where you cue the producer for some splashing water in the background. That's all.
No, all we have are birds right now. Birds and a grounds crew. That's
so
it. I don't have the type of a jam that Stelic does. I can't do that. I mean, I'm a man of, I do my little show here. I've got Tom Young here. That's all I need. I got coffee. I got Dunkin' Donuts. I got water. I'm a happy man. I don't need sound effects.
But you don't have Matt Cook's head on a plate, so that disappoints you.
It does. It does, Nick. I mean, come on, let's be honest. This isn't even what Dale Hunter got, for God's sake. It's a 14-17 game suspension. Don't tell me it's the end of the regular season, the first round of the playoffs. 14-17 games.
It's essentially he won't play the rest of the year. That's what it is. That's what it is. He's done. They're not getting past the first round. His season's over. That's pretty.
So basically,
pretty significant.
Yeah. So it's significant only if his team loses.
They will. If they do get lose.
But Nick, if you don't say to a guy, you know what, we were going to give you, we were going to actually say that it's the entire season we're going to throw out, but you know what, your team sucks so much you're not going to get past the first round anyhow, so you don't have to do that. Come on. Why not just come out? How impactful would it be? Would it have been if the NHL had said, we are suspending Matt Cook for the rest of the regular season and the duration of the playoffs, period? That is more impactful than...
I think when you look at it on face value, it's a 2 or 3 game suspension. That's what it is. So essentially, based on his reputation and things that he's done in the past, that's been documented publicly and not publicly, then you've essentially added anywhere between 15 and 20 games when you value playoff games. I don't understand how you don't think that this is a serious, severe penalty for a guy. I mean, you want him kicked out of the league. A lot of people want him kicked out of the league, but that's not the way it works, Jeff. That's not society in general. You pay a price and you get a chance to rehabilitate yourself. That's society in general. He's not getting kicked out. He's not losing his
profession. This guy's had a chance to rehabilitate. Nick, this guy's had a chance to rehabilitate himself 3 times. You know what? In most jurisdictions, you're looking at a severe. If you repeat the same crime 3 or 4 times, or 2 or 3 times even, you're looking at a severe penalty. There's absolutely no. If you want to make an example of this,
this is a severe penalty. It's a severe.
Why?
Penalty.
How is it a severe penalty?
World, Jeff, in the hockey world, this is a severe penalty. You can't deny that this is above and beyond.
I am denying it.
Things that we've seen in the past.
No, it's not true. Dale Hunter got more games. Right? Dale, what did Dale Hunter get? 21
Hunter
games.
Also took Turgeon out of the Stanley Cup conference final.
Yeah, but it's the act itself.
When there's a severe injury. Listen, if McDonough is Pacioretty off a stretcher and a broken vertebrae, he is done for the year. It's a factor. Okay. 15 years ago, that
attempted assault is the same thing, Nick.
Hey, it was a 2 minute. 10 or 15 years ago, that would have been a 2 minute or a 5 minute major for elbowing, and we wouldn't have never heard of it again. But the temperature's changed, and the league has responded to that, and he's essentially done for the rest of the season.
Well, he may not be. You can't say that. Again, you can't sit here and say he's done for the rest of the season. He's done for the rest of the season if his team doesn't win the first round. They may not win the first round. What if they do? What if they go on, Nick? What if they go on to the Stanley Cup? What if they win the Stanley Cup and your boy Matt Cook has got his name in the Stanley Cup?
That's a real tough discipline. Okay, then he would have missed a minimum 14 games, maximum 17 games, a month. Over a month without playing, and that in itself is a significant suspension. You want him kicked out?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Why not? Tell me why not, Nick. Why not? Why wouldn't you kick him out?
Because we don't work that way. You pay a price, and then you get a chance to redeem yourself. That's the way we work. That's society in general. You pay a certain price. He's going to pay a price. He's been humiliated. You know.
Please.
Oh, come on, come
Nick.
On.
Nick, look, you can't tell me how humiliated. You think this is his last contract? Give me a break. He has not been humiliated.
Why should it be his last contract? He's a good hockey player.
But I'm telling you, you're telling me he's humiliated, Nick. He's not humiliated. The guy made $2 million.
Humiliated because now we've never seen the temperatures higher when it comes to the passion that we've had over the fans. Have you not noticed the culture change on head hits? In the past, Jeff, we'd see teams defend their player to the end. We'd sit there and say, we'd hear, oh, it's a little severe. I don't think, it shouldn't. He kind of brushed him. It was just an elbow. We would have seen general managers defend. And right now, you listen to Ray Shiro, you listen to Mario Lemieux, Mary Lemieux is basically giving him an ultimatum. You either change your game or you will not find employment here anymore. I don't think he's heard that in the past. I think he's heard that, hey, come on, you're hurting the team, but to the point where now he's been basically told he's going to get kicked off the team if he doesn't change his ways. Come on, you got to give him a chance. You got to give him a chance to rehabilitate his game before you throw the book at him and throw away the key.
I mean, the first thing, Nick, is that the Penguins had no choice. They had to support this. You can't have your owner writing a letter saying the NHL's
That's right.
a bunch of doofuses for not
That's right.
for not
That's
enforcing
right.
discipline. So that you didn't have it. But I'll tell you what I would like to know is why this guy was wearing the A. What does that say about the Penguins? This guy was an assistant captain. Isn't he supposed to be one of your representatives?
They really believe with Matt Cook that there are the pros and cons, and the con is that he can't keep his elbows down. But I'm telling you right now, this guy works hard. He plays on the edge, which costs him a little bit, but he's also a very effective hockey player. He's one of the best penalty killers in the league. They have the number one penalty kill team. Right, he leads the team in shorthanded goals. He's second in the NHL in power or in shorthanded points. Second in the NHL. He's an effective
that's
hockey
why this,
player.
That's why this would have been. That this is the perfect guy to send the message out about Nick because he's not just a goon. I mean, I think he's a clown on the ice. But you're right, there is some hockey talent there. That's why this is the perfect guy to come down on. He's the perfect guy because you're dealing with a guy who's actually a bit of a player as well. It's not like you're throwing Colton Orr out for the rest of the year. You're throwing out a guy who actually can play hockey a little bit. And that's why that's what makes this even worse. That's what makes it even worse.
This
and again, it gets
this
back to, Nick, until
no
somebody
game.
Dies, the NHL's not taking any action. Until somebody dies, you're not going to see serious action taken. It's very simple.
You know what, Jeff? Even if a guy dies, what do you think is going to really change? Honestly, people have died in it.
Well, I'll tell you what, if somebody were to die or if the Steve Moore case, develops in court, I think a lot will change. And I think that's part of the issue here, too.
Well,
I really wonder. I mean, I'm no legal expert, but I've got to wonder whether or not this whole thing is taking place against the background of the Moore-Bertuzzi case. I wonder if that's having an impact on what the NHL does. Maybe they can't come down harder than they wanted in the guy. I don't know.
It's a high-risk sport. We all understand that. And sometimes, guys like Matt Cook will play on the edge or even open the envelope. But we've seen guys severely hurt in auto racing and boxing. You don't see the game completely change because of that. So, There's a certain amount of risk that the guys take. We all know that. Whether it's a head shot or a shot to the eye like Matt or like Malhotra is feeling right now, we all understand when we step on the ice there's a certain amount of risk. So I'm really kind of tired of that, hey, listen, we're gonna see someone really get hurt and then the rules are going to change. I don't think the rules are going to change. We can tweak them here and there. We can help keep the guys a little safer in their environment. Maybe change the glass. Help out with a stanchion. But the game has a certain level of risk, and we all deal with it on a daily basis.
Well, we are going to have to disagree on this. But I got to tell you, I'd rather disagree with you than anybody else, especially when I'm a couple of thousand miles away.
That's pretty safe, Jeff. That's a pretty safe bet, bud.
I know it is. Nick, thanks for your time.
Hey, Jeff, I'm going to tell you something I haven't told Bob McCowan in about 10 years.
What?
I really enjoy your show.
Thanks a lot.
Okay,
take
bud.
Care. All right, bud, take care. That is Nick Kypreos. And again, yes, I am fully aware of Nick's history and the concussion he suffered. So just don't start sending me emails about that. I am aware. Of that. And as I said, I just have very strong feelings of this, and I got to think a lot of people do. I want to know what you think. 416-870-0590, star 590, 1-888-666-0590. I think he's got off easy. I don't think this is punishment at all. And as I said, forget the money. He'll get that money back. And if he can't, I'll give him the name of an accountant who'll do it for him. Back with your calls on the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590. We are back in Florida, Auto Exchange Stadium, Blue Jays in Philadelphia, Phillies playing this afternoon in a Grapefruit League game, Ricky Romero against Cliff Lee. Pretty much the A lineup for the Blue Jays the game today. Rajai Davis, Junel Escobar, Jose Bautista, Adam Lind, Aaron Hill making his debut. And actually, Aaron Hill is going to play second base. We originally were told he was going to DH. Bautista will DH today. Hill will be in the field, which is a great sign. At least this was the initial lineup. He'll be in at second base, which, as I said, is a great sign. Edwin Encarnacion will be at third. Travis Snyder in left. Juan Rivera in right. J.P. Arencibia behind the plate. And Ricky Romero starting after missing a start with a swollen finger. And so that is that. That's pretty much pretty close to your opening day lineup. 416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590. I still can't. You know, you heard me talking with Nick Kiprios about Matt Cook, and I'm deadly serious about this. The fact that this isn't the longest suspension in NHL history. The fact that Dale Hunter's suspension for his cheap shot on Pierre Turgeon was still longer, 21 games. To me, it really takes away from this. It really takes away from what the NHL could have done here. And again, the NHL just, stopping just short of doing what it needs to do to get stuff done. And it just, it pisses you off, because nothing's going to change. And again, please do not tell me about poor Matt Cook and his money, because he ain't losing $200,000. Bruce in Mississauga, you're on Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590.
Yeah, I agree with you, a lot of points in that last point you just made, of course. We just heard about Matt Cook coming out and saying, I got to change. He's been the same player for 10 years, and he'll never change. You look at, and then Nick Kiprios, he's got the Neanderthal attitude because he was a goon. It's the same thing.
Here's one thing. I'm just going to interrupt, and here's one thing I'm going to say, and I'm going to interrupt. And Nick doesn't need me to defend him. I don't think, Nick is consistent in this. And I understand Nick's point of view. I don't agree with it, but I understand his point of view. And one of the issues here, and I'll let you get back to your call, but one of the issues here is the fact that the more we talk about this, the more I realize that there really is a huge divide. I don't know where the middle ground is in this, because this is one of those things where people who have played the game have an entirely different view of it. They have an entirely different understanding of it. They understand it in the context of what happened when they played. And I can't argue that. But I'm just saying that those of us who didn't play the game, those of us who've never played in the NHL and who consume the game, who look at it as a consumer, or who watch it because we watch it for work, we're approaching it differently. I don't need to see that. See, for me, if Matt Cook was run out of the NHL, that wouldn't change my life. I'd be happy. But I can see where a guy like Nick Kiprios would say, wait a minute, that's not right. So I see the two points of view. And the problem, I guess, is I don't know where the middle ground is. You know what I'm saying?
Well, again, Roger Lajoie had it on yesterday, and I phoned in and I said it should have been the rest of the season, all the playoffs, and two games next year, just to remind him of what he did. It's just ridiculous. Like you mentioned, a couple of suspensions. What about Don Murdoch? I mean, I don't agree with cocaine, of course, but he got caught with cocaine, 40 games. Tom Lysiak, he trips the referee. No, there was no injury to the referee. He gets 20 games. You had guys before, like, I don't know if you go back to Bugsy Watson when he used to shadow Bobby Hall. But he never did anything bad to Bobby Hall. He just bothered him. Esatikinen was a super pest. Never did anything like Matt Cook did. And then Nick Kiprios goes on about, well, auto racing's never changed. Now, auto racing has changed drastically because
it has changed the corners. Yeah, you're right. In a lot of places, it's changed. We got to move on, Bruce. We got a lot of calls. You are right, Bruce. I should have picked that up with Nick. Auto racing has made a lot of changes. And we're eventually getting at the point now, for example, in Formula One, where the drivers are going to have sensors in their helmets, and essentially you'll be able to register brain activity or lack of brain activity immediately upon an accident at an F1 track. There are medical staff there anyhow, but you'll get a reading. You'll essentially get a reading of the brain waves of the driver, brain waves or brain pattern, whatever you want to call it, of the driver. There's also talk of the NHL putting sensors, or I'm sorry, the NFL putting sensors in helmets as well, and having somebody on site at an NFL game whose sole job is to monitor the impact of a serious hit on a player in real time, to monitor it right away. In other words, be able to at least add to the body of evidence that will help someone make a correct decision about whether or not a player should be back in the game. We'll get to your calls for a minute, but right now we got to do the Jeff Blair Show bonus code. Fan Club members, enter the bonus code TURTLE, as in that's what the NHL's done once again, before 11:50 a.m. today at fan590.com for 590 points and your chance to win four tickets to see the first place Toronto Rock play the Washington Stealth Friday night at the ACC. That code again was TURTLE. Visit fan590.com and enter it in the fan club for your chance to win now. John and Mississauga, you're on Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590.
Hi, Jeff. Great show, Jeff.
Thank you, John.
I just want to say, Jeff, I totally agree with you. I don't agree with Nick Kiprios. I know Matt Cook is a valuable player as far as a hockey player. We don't need that type of behavior in the NHL, no matter how good he is. I don't understand one thing. Maybe you can help me here and there. Where is Mario Lemieux in all of this? I mean, he made the
very good question.
Where is he? The hypocrite that signs those checks. Where is he? You know, he uses Ray Shiro to talk, or he uses the coach to talk. Why isn't he coming up and saying something? You know, a Canadian icon, a great hockey player, and he's not saying a word. I don't get that.
No, neither do I. And as a matter of fact, I never got why Matt Cook was an assistant captain in that team. I mean, here's a guy, here's a guy, Mario Lemieux, who, to his credit, took a stand against headshots, admittedly after the fact in the case of Sidney Crosby. But he's got his best player out until God knows when because of a concussion. And he's got a guy in his team who's an assistant captain who's basically the personification of everything wrong in the NHL. Yeah. How does he get off doing that? Avi in Toronto, you're on Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590.
How you doing? I kind of think you were a little soft on Nick Kiprios. The fact of the matter,
I don't think I was soft on him. We had a disagreement. I mean, I'm not going to, again, as I said, I understand where guys like Kiprios are coming from. I understand. I don't think it's right, but I understand.
But some of the points he's making is that Matt Cook gets another chance. Well, how many chances does he get? It begs the question that if he does it again, so next time he'll get a 30-game suspension, at what point does a person just lose his opportunity? And as one of the callers earlier alluded to, basically, all the other sports have done their best not only to take the natural inherent dangers out of the game. Here, the inherent danger is you can get hit with a puck. We understand that. But why do you have to get hit with an elbow, and why does your head have to get slammed into the board?
You know, I got a lot of email from people saying things like, okay, well, you're a baseball guy. But if a guy throws at a guy and hits him in the head, should he be thrown out? Well, yeah, but baseball deals with that. And somebody said, you know, well, okay, I had one guy send an email, well, Justin Morneau got a concussion. Should John McDonald be suspended? Well, no, because that was McDonald accidentally hit him with his knee in the head. I mean, people, you're never going to get rid of
the inherent
I get it. I've watched a lot of sports. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. To me, that's an inherent danger. Getting hit in the face of the puck, yeah, that's an inherent danger. I might ask why the hell you're not wearing a visor, but okay, that's an inherent danger. You know what? If I'm an NHL player, I shouldn't have to worry about getting my head deliberately run into the boards by another player.
I agree with you.
That to me isn't, that's not an inherent danger of the game.
Keep apologizing for man-made bonehead plays that are not inherent in the game.
Because they approach it differently than us. They've been there. And that's why I have less of a problem with former players who say, wait a minute. I have less of a problem with them than people who've never played the game and take that point of view. You know, I have less of a problem with Nick Kiprios than some guy who's a fan saying, well, yeah, but, you know, I like the hitting. You play in a beer league, dude. You have no idea what it's like to play real hockey. So I have a problem with those guys. I don't have a problem with former players taking this point of view. Abby, we got to run. I have no problem with former players taking this point of view. It's people who aren't players. I just look at them and go, what the hell are you guys about? George and Mississauga, you're on Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590.
Hey, Jeff, how's it going?
Good, George. It's hot. Damn hot.
Listen, for the NHL, that's a great first step. But they should have done it last week when Marchand and Heatley administered those elbows to the other two players there, especially Marchand. He came up from that guy. That guy had no clue it was coming, and nailed him in the back of the head. That's the one that they should have started the precedent anyway.
Well, I mean, we can go off on a separate topic with Danny Heatley. I mean, the same week that Heatley gets off essentially scot-free, you have this happen. And, again, just look at what the NHL has done here. They could have very simply said, and isn't this the NHL? Very simple thing. They could have said, Matt Cook has been thrown out for the rest of the season and the playoffs. He's gone for, 2010, 2011, he's gone. They could go to the final, he's gone. Very simple. But the NHL doesn't do it that way. No, we're going to suspend him for the rest of the regular season and the first round. And you heard Nick Kypreos say that, well, essentially he's done for the rest of the year because they're not getting out of the first round. That's pointless. The fact is the NHL's opened the door for this guy to play again this year. And, again, just think, let's suppose that the Penguins do go on. And maybe they go to the Stanley Cup final. Hell, I don't know. Maybe they win the Stanley Cup. Boy, that's a real... Matt Cook has really suffered, hasn't he? I mean, come on. That is the anthem singer warming up, by the way. Well, this ought to be interesting because one of the dirty little secrets about spring training in Florida, the worst collection of singers ever known to mankind sing anthems at spring training games in Florida. Brian and Toronto are on Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590.
Hey, Jeff, I agree with you that I think it's a bit of a joke to say he's only going to be gone for the first round because there's no real predicting to suggest where they're going. They might...
They've done is they've given him a maximum 17-game suspension. That's what they've
right.
done.
But my real point here is I know that Nick Kypreos is a pretty articulate guy for a former goon, and I often agree with him. However, I do disagree with him in the sense that... these guys that always say for those who played the game and those who played the game, whether they were NHL players or NFL players, I almost think that it's a bit disrespectful to the fan base in general because most of us never played the game, and yet we are the consumer. We are the public that are buying the game. And I listen to the fan virtually all day long because I'm in the car, and I think what the sound that's being echoed is that these kind of cheap shots people don't want to see in the game, and it's turning people off.
Well, I'll tell you, we'll have to wait and see the updated attendance figures. It doesn't appear to have turned people off at the ACC. I don't know. I mean, TV ratings, in the States are as good as the NHL ever gets for the most part. I mean, I'll give the NHL credit. I've been down in the States when the Winter Classic is being played, and it's a big deal. And a lot of people that don't normally watch hockey watch it. I mean, the NHL does one-off events very well. But... I get more and more email. I have more anecdotal evidence, phone calls, people talking to me. I'm really beginning to wonder how many hardcore Canadian hockey fans are getting turned off by this. I mean, just anecdotally, the number of parents that I've heard from who have taken their kids out of hockey in the last year to 2 years is absolutely remarkable. Now, that's just anecdotal evidence. I can't put a number on it. But that tells me that they're losing their grip on the core of their constituency, which is the Canadian hockey fan. And the problem is that isn't reflected in TV numbers. It's not reflected in attendance. And I'm scared that because I don't want hockey to go away. My fear is that we've seen a separation here now. The NHL will be strong in Canada always, but I think the game at the amateur level, I think it's on the verge of being in crisis. It's too expensive, and too many kids are getting hurt at too young an age. And at some point, if you're a parent, you look at all this and you go, the hell with this, I'm putting my kid in basketball, or I'm going to put my kid in soccer. It's very simple. 416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590. Back with more of the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590.
Prizes like no other, from a club like no other. The Fan Club. Join online at fan590.com. Now more of the Jeff Blair Show, live from Florida, on Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590.
We're back at Florida Auto Exchange Stadium. Every time I come here, it's like the name of the stadium's changed. I think this is like the fourth different name since I've been coming down here. The Phillies and the Blue Jays will play in Grapefruit League action this afternoon. Ricky Romero, opening day starter, Ricky Romero goes for the Blue Jays against Cliff Lee, who is scheduled to start for the Philadelphia Phillies. Pretty much the opening day lineup, pretty much the A lineup for the Blue Jays. Aaron Hill penciled in to play at second base and bat fifth. 416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. Alex Anthopoulos, Senior Vice President, General Manager of the Blue Jays, will join us in the 10 o'clock hour. If you've got questions for him, feel free to submit them to me, Jeff Blair, at fan590.com. We have a ton, but I will go through them and pluck out the plums to ask Mr. Anthopoulos. But right now we are still talking about Matt Cook and the NHL's lack of action. Yeah, you know what? The email I'm getting on this, I'm just looking at it, it unanimously. Well, I would say almost unanimous. I would say 90% of it is that the NHL hasn't done enough. And I think, as I said, what we're seeing is that split between the hockey guys and the rest of us. The consumer, the fan, the viewer. There's a big split. Julian in Toronto, you're on Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590.
Hey, Jeff, let me ask you a question. Is Matt Cook or is Matt Cook not out there to injure other players?
Oh, he's definitely out there to injure other players.
Now, I mean, I don't follow the Pittsburgh Penguins as often, but, I mean, I was watching Hockey Central last night with Kipper and McLean over there. And, I mean, this guy is clearly out there to take other guys' heads off. He's not like a young player that's coming into the league like a P.K. Subban, you know, who's, you know, skating around with a big stick trying to prove something, you know, for himself. He's a mature player. He's a grown man. He's a father. You know, what kind of example is this guy setting for kids, you know, or even for young people coming into the league if he can get away with these actual headshots? He should not be playing
Everybody says that he's a player of some talent. You know, you heard Nick Kiprios talk about his penalty killing abilities. And I have no reason to doubt that. But yeah, I'm sorry. This guy's track record speaks for itself. You know, and this gets to the point about players assuming a risk when they play. We all get that. There are risks inherent in playing hockey. Having your head drilled into the boards from behind by some cheap shot artist, that's not an inherent danger. That is not an inherent danger. It just isn't. An inherent danger is something that happens as the course of the playing of the game by its rules. That's an inherent danger. And this does not fall into the inherent danger category. And that's when people like Brian Burke bring that up about, you know, everybody accepts a risk. I'm sorry, you play in the NHL, you don't accept, one of the things you aren't accepting is the fact that some guy may try to kill you. I don't think anybody accepts that risk.
Exactly, and I mean the fact that it's cluing into him now that he has to change his play, and he hasn't realized this before. You know, from the hit on Savard, you know, hit on other players and stuff. Like, that kind of worries me that it's only clicked into him now. You know,
he won't change.
Somebody now, he may not injure them a year or 2 years or 3 years from now. But as time goes on, this guy gains his confidence back and starts getting away with these cheap shots more and more, and he knows he can get away with it. He's probably going to lay someone out and take their head right off, and they're going to be done for life. You know, and then the NHL is going to look back a couple years from now, oh, why didn't we suspend Matt Cook, or why didn't we kick him out of the league at that time?
Julian, I appreciate the call. We've got a ton of calls to get to. Thanks for that. Jason and Owen Sound, you're on Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590.
Good morning, Jeff. Anyone that knows me, I'm a extremely long Penguin fan, and regardless of whether or not it's Matt Cook or actually even a worse offender, Chris Pronger, who's been suspended 7 times, I think the core issue, forget about the player, what I'm upset about is I thought they were going to do an 8-to-10-game suspension, so I'm actually thinking they're getting it sort of right, but what happens if this happens at the 40-game mark instead of the 70-game mark? They need to put a number on it when they say rest of the regular season, and because it only penalizes Cook substantially if they happen to go 4 rounds of the playoffs and they play 20 games, say, and it becomes a 30-game suspension, where saying it's a 14-game or a 17-game suspension or what have you, they need
But he's back. Yeah. He's back if they get through the second round, get into the second round.
My point, though, Jeff, is that they need to put down a hard and fast number so that then next season, when it happens at the halfway mark, they can say, well, Matt Cook got 22 games or got except such and such, rather than, like, because in comparison to other elbows to the head, this 15-game suspension or 17 or whatever it turns out to be, 14 to 17, it's actually pretty dramatic compared to other guys who are repeat offenders. I wanted a hard and fast number, and I'm a Penguin fan.
Yeah, I don't. I would like a hard and fast number, too. I'd like it to start at about 30 games. You know, and honestly, I think that the only way you get rid of this, and this is where I don't agree with Nick, the only way you get rid of it is by being serious about zero tolerance. Zero tolerance does not mean if you do it, we'll look at suspending you for a certain period of time. Zero tolerance means very simple. Headshot, you're automatically out of the game, at least. If you're a first-time offender, and you've got to make it, you know, don't people talk about going up in increments. You know, maybe 5 games for the first or 10. No, 20 for the first time. And if you do it the second time, you're gone. Let's see if that works. Now, if it doesn't work, then you got a real issue. But let's see if that works. My guess is that by the end of the year, you might end up having lost one semi-legitimate player as a result of that suspension. In which case, tough bananas. Everybody played by the rules. Most of the guys you'd lose would be guys that nobody's going to miss. You know, the guys in the hockey pool might miss them. But the game itself, as good a player as Matt Cook is, if Matt Cook never plays another game in the NHL, do you think the NHL is any worse? I don't. I don't think Matt Cook would be missed at all. Don and Milton, you're on Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590.
Hey, Jeff. Listen, I'm convinced more than ever the NHL enjoys this publicity, enjoys this kind of stuff. Giving him 10 games at the end of a year out of an 82-game season, it's like a vacation. It's like he can rest up. Recover from all his nicks and bruises. If they make it out of the first round, which is a possibility, he's gonna be healthy and ready to go and kill more people or elbow more people. I mean, it's crazy. And the people and Nick Kiprios for coming on and saying that he needs to redeem himself. How many times? 4 times he'll have to redeem himself. Is that normal? Do we always get that chance? If I did that at work, at my place of work, 4 times I caught stealing or something like that, do you think they would just say, oh, come on, he can come back again. We'll just let him off a couple days and he'll be okay. This kind of mentality is ridiculous. Just because I don't play hockey doesn't mean I don't have common sense to see what's going on. It's this Neanderthal, point of view against people who have actually logic and reason, and we still get put down for it. I mean, it's ridiculous. But you know what? We continue to watch, so it's our own fault. So if the NHL doesn't care, why should we?
Well, that is the bottom. Ultimately, the NHL, and that's why. What has been the thing that has happened? The criticism that spurred Gary Bettman, that really got Gary Bettman's backup. Which criticism was it? Mario Lemieux? Nah, not really. Molson's? Whatever. Air Canada, corporate sponsor. That got Gary Bettman's backup, didn't it? That got him upset. Because now you're talking about hitting the NHL in the pocketbook. Now you're talking about money. You're not talking about moral issues. You're not talking about state of the game stuff, any of that, you know, big picture, airy-fairy crap. You're talking about money. That got Gary Bettman's attention. And you're right. As long as fans keep going out to watch this stuff, you know, if you're the NHL... If I hear an NHL GM say, you know what, there's nothing, you guys keep saying there's stuff wrong with our game, that we're in crisis. But where's the crisis? They got some bad markets in the southern states, but, I mean, those markets are going to suck regardless of whether or not the hockey's great. You could bring back the greatest NHL players of all time, put them in their prime. You could have a team of Gordie Howe, Bobby Hull, Rocket Richard, and put them in Phoenix, and nobody's going to go to watch hockey in Phoenix. It doesn't matter how good the team is. Nobody's going to go to watch hockey in Phoenix. So the NHL general manager is saying, well, where's this crisis? We're drawing great crowds in big U.S. markets for the most part. We're doing well in Canada. TV ratings are okay. TV ratings are great in Canada. That's a thing. There's a disconnect. Stephen Ballantrae, you're on Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590.
Okay, you might not want to hear this opinion, but here's the problem. The NHL is going to be called the no-hitting league. What Cook did was totally bad, awful, and he's stupid for doing it, especially after they just had the general manager's meeting. But because all the games are on the center ice package, you never miss a game, any elbow to the head, everyone's going to go crazy. This has been going on for years. Heatley got 2 games for an elbow that was just as bad as Cook's. Now, granted, Cook is a repeat offender, but there's no way the superstars should get away with it. Char should have been suspended at least for 2 games. The guy didn't even have the puck, okay? I understand Montreal fans are whiners. I'm from Toronto. I can understand that. But to their credit, he should have been suspended for 2 games. It's an absolute joke. Why do we wear helmets? To stop from getting injured, okay?
Blatant. Why two games?
He should have gotten
why two games? Why two games? Why not six?
At least two, because he was ejected from the game he was already in. That's one. Two more.
Why not eight?
Look at what.
But again,
Congress
Steve, you're missing my point. You're talking about numbers. You know, eight, two, three, four. Who cares?
Okay, well, compare.
You hit somebody in the head. You hit somebody in the head. You're gone for 20 games. Do it twice. You're out for the year. Bingo. There you go.
That's cool. I'm good with that. I'm good with that. I don't have a problem with that. But why give Heatley two, and then Cook gets like, now you know what? Lemieux brought that on himself, the length of that suspension, because they said, you know what? Gary's like that. Gary will get back at you whichever way he can. That's the way Bettman operates, and I can't wait until he's out of the league. Bring someone else in. I'm tired of that little guy.
Steve, you know what? It ain't Gary Bettman's going nowhere. John of Richmond Hill, you're on Sportsnet, unless he wants to. John of Richmond Hill, you're on Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590.
Hey, Jeff, I love your show.
Thank you.
Just a couple of comments. I mean, we're in a situation here where, you know what, we can't look back in terms of, you know, what happened in the past. I mean, we're in a situation where we have to look at the present situation and move forward and deal with it. I'm going to make a comment, and then I'll hang up and I'll listen to your comment. Think of it as drinking and driving. I mean, going back to the past caller about having equipment out there and helmets to protect the head. I mean, same thing with cars, too. I mean, we have airbags to prevent accidents, to prevent head injuries. So same thing in hockey, too. I mean, we sort of have to move forward and say, you know what, zero tolerance. And you know what, regardless of who the player is, boom, 30 games for the first incident. You're gone the rest of the season afterwards. Bottom line, deal with it, end of story. I'll just look at your comment. Thanks.
We're on the same page. I'm with you completely on that. I would have absolutely no problem with zero tolerance. And I don't care who it takes out of the game. I don't care if Danny Heatley ends up missing half a year because of it. That's tough. That's too bad for the San Jose Sharks. Deal with it. That's how you affect change. Again, it's about affecting culture change in the NHL. And hitting guys, I'm sorry. I mean, I've been around professional athletes for a long time. They are driven by money. But you know what? They make so much money that a simple fine doesn't make any difference. And again, I keep making this point. I'm getting emails from people talking about how can you say it's nothing, it's $200,000. He's going to get that back. I mean, trust me. Trust me. You make $2 million and you live in the United States? You get that back. Matt Cook's not going to starve because of this. I don't even know if it'll make a dent in his pocketbook. So don't throw the money out there. You know, and you heard Nick Kypreos make the point about, well, he's been embarrassed. Come on. He's not been embarrassed. You're going to tell me that if the Pittsburgh Penguins released this guy today, that somebody else wouldn't pick him up? Of course they would. You don't think the Toronto Maple Leafs would look at this guy? Of course they would. Come on. This is no suspension at all. And, you know, no surprise. Because, again, the NHL always errs on the side of the player. It always errs on the side of the aggressor. It always errs on the side of the attacker because a bunch of people making the decisions have all played the game, and they've all been there. They've all done that. The problem is that they all know what was going through Matt Cook's head. That's the problem. When we come back, Toronto Blue Jays general manager Alex Anthopoulos joins us for an hour. We'll take your emails, jeffblair@fan590.com. Questions for Alex Anthopoulos. This is the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590.